Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, May the 7th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Lawyers are gearing up for a lengthy challenge of the nation's most restrictive abortion law. Also on our rundown, get out the vote efforts for the Tuesday primaries, and a Poor People's Campaign kicks off for social justice. Now our top story, the White House ramping up an 11th-hour effort to build support for Trump's pick to lead the CIA. The Hill reports this is just days before she is scheduled to face a grilling from the Senate Intelligence Committee over her role in the agency's controversial detention and interrogation program. A legal challenge expected ahead of July 1st, that's when Iowa is set to enforce the most restrictive abortion law in the nation. Ros Brown has our report.
Following approval from Iowa Senate Republicans last week, Governor Kim Reynolds signed the Fetal Heartbeat Bill on Friday. The Iowa law would bar physicians from performing most abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected, typically at 6 weeks into a pregnancy and often before a woman realizes she's pregnant. Veronica Fowler with the Iowa ACLU says the new law comes after the Iowa legislature voted to forfeit the state's family planning money resulting in the closure of four Planned Parenthood clinics that serve 15,000 Iowa women.
The passage of this bill comes at a time when legislators have also led this devastating assault on access to family planning and contraception.
The Iowa ACLU and Planned Parenthood of the Heartland have already announced plans to challenge the law's constitutionality.
The legislation failed to get a single Democratic vote in either Iowa chamber. And if you haven't noticed by the number of yard signs poking out of the ground in North Carolina, Stephanie Carson reports tomorrow is the state's primary day.
Depending on your county, it will determine candidates for congressional seats in the November midterm election, as well as local and state races. Voting advocates, including Tomas Lopez with Democracy North Carolina, want to make sure registered voters understand the importance of voting.
Even though there aren't major national races on the ballot this year in North Carolina, there are offices on the ballot that are really important to people's lives, sheriffs and district attorneys. If you have an opinion about law enforcement, no matter what that is, in many cases, it's the primary that's going to determine who's in that office.
NCVoter.org has more information on what races are taking place in your county, as well as where you can vote. You do not need a photo ID, since the Supreme Court struck down that state law last year.
Volunteers in the Clean Missouri Initiative recently turned in nearly 347,000 signatures at the Secretary of State's office. Tremel Gomes reports that's more than double the amount needed to get their issues on a statewide ballot come November.
The initiative's goal is to rid the state of corruption by giving voters the power to decide on limits on campaign contributions and institute a gift ban preventing lobbyists from spending more than $5 on any single gift for an elected official. The Reverend Cassandra Gould, senior pastor at Quinn Chapel AME Church in Jefferson City, also is director of Missouri Faith Voices, which has rounded up volunteers to help gather signatures. She says money has too much influence in the legislative process.
Oftentimes, money is put over people, and so I believe that this is an opportunity for a moral correction of the processes that go on now.
If approved in November, the amendment also would call for a nonpartisan expert to draw fair legislative district maps instead of it being left up to the influence of the political party in power at the time. The maps would then be reviewed by a citizen commission.
The Denver Post editorial page editor resigned last week after management refused to run a piece critical of the paper's parent company. Now workers have decided it's time to respond. Eric Gladys has our report.
Unrest between Denver Post workers and hedge fund owner Alden Global Capital is on the rise after editorial page editor Chuck Plunkett resigned late last week. Workers at the Post and papers across the nation are set to protest what they say are predatory management practices tomorrow in Denver and at Alden's headquarters in Manhattan. Post reporter Kieran Nicholson is the newsroom unit chair for the Denver Newspaper Guild. He says even though the Post made $28 million in profits last year, the company continues to cut staff and costs in ways that are unsustainable.
They are busy stuffing their pockets as they wring this out. And if it's to the community's detriment, if it's to the Post employees' detriment, they don't care.
Attempts to contact Alden Global Capital or its subsidiary Digital First Media for a response so far have been unsuccessful.
And finally, Suzanne Potter tells us a movement that's inspired by the work of Dr. Martin Luther King is launching a 40-day campaign. It's meant to bring attention to issues of poverty, racism, environmental degradation, and militarism.
Kickoff rallies for the Poor People's Campaign will take place a week from today in state capitals in 39 states and Washington, D.C. The Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris is with the Kairos Center at Union Theological Seminary in New York, which is co-organizing the movement. She says they are promoting nonviolent moral direct action, education, grassroots mobilizing, voter registration, and community building on a range of issues.
This distorted moral narrative that blames poor people for our problems, that pits us against each other, and that says that there isn't enough to go around when we're really living in a society of abundance.
Thousands of applicants expected to gather for the culminating rally that takes place on June the 23rd in the nation's capital. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service. We're member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.